Good morning, dear brothers and sisters. It is a great joy, it's a blessing, it's an honor and a privilege to have been asked to share in this weekend celebration of this church family's 25 years of being the light of the world and being the salt of the earth here on McDermott Road. And it's a blessing to share the message time with James this morning and to have Keith leading us in worship. And I know that James and Deb, Kim and I would have been happy just to be here with you this weekend and to hear a message from Wes. So thank you, Wes. Thank you, shepherds. Thanks, many thanks to the many who have done so much in putting this celebration weekend together. And I'm just going to have to actively resist the temptation to joyfully reminisce for 15 minutes. We have other things to do, so let me just say on behalf of Kim and Hannah and Coleman and myself that this church family has an irreplaceably special place in our hearts and in our lives because of the 9 years that we spent serving together with you. We love you, and we continue to thank God for you. So grateful for Wes and Holly, for Mark and Laura, and Dave and Audrey, the rest of your incredible ministry staff and administrative staff and support staff and elders and deacons and ministry leaders and coordinators, and for your mission efforts around the world, and for the many interconnections, the blessed interconnectedness that binds us all together, from Plano to Tulsa, to Broken Arrow, to Mariupol, Ukraine, to Tallinn, Estonia. Back in January, Wes shared with James and Keith and me that your congregational theme and focus this year is sanctified, purified for a purpose. And purpose has always been at the very heart of this church family. It's been a motivating force. It's been a guiding force. Sometime in 1998, a full year before my family and I joined you in the work here, I was attending a DFW area-wide minister's lunch, and I heard Robert Oglesby talk about the plans that were in motion to plant a church in North Plano. And I don't need to rehearse with you the details of that story. It is living history for some of you. For those of you who have come in more recent years, it's a very familiar, well-documented story. But I remember sitting there that day thinking, this is the most purposefully planned and well-prayed over church plant that I've ever heard of. And my assessment of that remains unchanged all these years later. From its inception, this church has been a people of purpose, a people committed to God's purpose. I'm still amazed by what some of you brothers and sisters do vocationally as corporate executives and engineers of various stripes, medical professionals, financial gurus and wizards, and IT designers and AI specialists. There's just a lot of things in life that produce wonderment and amazement in me that some of you could look at some of those same things and say, you know, Tim, I could tell you how that works. You wouldn't understand it, but I could tell you how that works. And you could. But every single one of us, all of us, stand on equally awestruck and gobsmacked ground when we ponder the purposes of God. And when we ponder the power of God's purpose, when we consider the workings of His divine will, when we ponder both the majesty and the mystery of God's providence. Yahweh, He is God, and there is no other. We urged one another to behold Him in song earlier. He is the great I Am. He is the one who is, who was, and is to come. He is God Most High. He is the Sovereign Lord Almighty, who exists in His triune nature. And after Job has been cross-examined by the Lord for quite a while, he says, I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. And he goes on to penitentially confess that he had been speaking beyond his pay grade as he had engaged in this diatribe against the Lord. What's even more awe-inducing is that our mighty God accomplishes His unthwartable purposes and will, not with a club, not as an autocratic tyrant who imposes His will, not as a puppet master who just pulls strings and moves and manipulates us like pieces on a chessboard. He allows all 8.2 billion of us on this planet to make hundreds of individual decisions every single day in the exercise of our own personal free will, and he still accomplishes his will and his purpose. That is an awesome God. Beyond our ability to comprehend, unfathomable, inscrutable. And I have to smile because inscrutable is one of those words that used to draw a side eye from Vicky as she was interpreting the sermon into American Sign Language. Sometimes I would use a word and she would just turn from the waist and look at me like, really, you want me to sign that word? Inscrutable just means you can't scrute it. It is beyond our scrutiny. So we know that God causes all things to work together for good, to those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. And we know that, we believe that, we accept it, we don't come close to understanding it. We don't understand how he does that. And obviously this verse doesn't say God causes all things, doesn't say that everything happens for a reason. That's another one of those statements that's almost in the Bible. And I know you've had lots of discussions about texts that are either slightly misappropriated or gigantically misappropriated. The coffee mug on my desk right now is my current favorite. Got it for my birthday last year. It says, I can do all things through a verse taken out of context. So it's Marilyn Monroe who said everything happens for a reason. Monroe, not Messiah. Norma Jean, not Christ Jesus. What this verse does mean is that this world can throw any set of circumstances at God, any combination of scenarios and variables and events, and the Lord will challenge those into blessings for his people, for those who have partnered with his purpose. And there's another mind blower, that our majestic, transcendent God graces us, and he embraces us as partners in his purpose. With us, earthen vessels, jars of clay, fragile little claymates. Lord, when I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of? The son of man that you care for him. Lord, who are we that you would partner with us? That you would make us ambassadors for Christ? That you would entrust us with the word of reconciliation and the ministry of reconciliation? The parameters of God's word are revealed in his word. And this church has always been committed and always will be committed to honoring those parameters. But even within the narrow way that leads to life, God grants us immense freedom and gracious latitude and choice and discernment within those boundaries of his will. And that allows us to experience the peace of God's purpose when we're faced with choices and decisions and options, as this church has faced numerous times over the last 25 years and will continue to in the years to come. Whether those are simple, clear-cut choices like a fork in the road where it's this way or that way, or whether they're decisions that look more like the high-five interchange with all kinds of possibilities and moving parts, we can prayerfully make those decisions in full peace and confidence, without stress, without anxiety. Why? Because the pressure's off when you're keeping it between the ditches. As partners in God's purpose, you know, we're not making decisions anymore between good and bad and right and wrong and unrighteousness and evil. That ship has sailed. We crossed that bridge a long time ago. We're just prayerfully discerning and making choices between good and better and best as we deem them to be good and better and best, knowing that God will bless and prosper any and all of those possible decisions because they are within the parameters of his will. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Written to saved people like us, So obviously, working out our salvation with fear and trembling doesn't mean that we constantly sweat bullets, desperately trying to solve the cipher of salvation and the slim hope that our math checks out in the end, and we inherit eternal life by the skin of our teeth. The salvation equation was solved 2,000 years ago by Jesus Christ on the cross. Working out our salvation means faithfully living out our salvation in harmony with the purposes of God, as partners in the purpose of God. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him, because God is energizing you so that you will desire and do what always pleases Him. As always, God's doing the heavy lifting here. It's God's work in us and God's will in us that accomplishes His purposes. It's the glory of His name that fuels the passion of His church. It's God's righteousness that burns in us like a holy flame. It's the saving love of Christ that is the measure of our lives. 25 years ago, on April 2nd, 2000, our first Sunday here on site on McDermott Road, 333 of us packed ourselves into the modular building. May it rest in peace. And that is still, though, brothers and sisters, the single most cost-effective, maximum kingdom value, bang for the buck structure that's ever been built in the history of the Christian faith. And on that very exciting day, and it was exciting and it was joyful, but there was no way that we could imagine what things would be like in 25 years. But God could. And God did. God saw this day. God foreknew this day. He blessed this day. And He knew every single one of you was going to be here today. And some of you didn't know last week that you were going to be here today. God knew 25 years ago. As the one who lives in the eternal present, He was already here. And now, as you look ahead from this 25-year mark, as you continue to dream and work and plan and rework and tool and retool and think and rethink, be assured that our God is not only here with you, He will always be here with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Christ, the hope of glory, is in you. The Holy Spirit tabernacles within you, collectively and individually. Wherever you go, He goes. You can't be where He isn't. Being a part of this church plant for 9 years was a singular blessing in my life and the life of my family. And since that time, for the last 16 years, we've been greatly blessed to serve with the Broken Arrow, Oklahoma Church, which celebrated its centennial 3 years ago. In 2022. In 1922, a small group of Christians met in a vacant room over the Broken Arrow City Jail. And it would have been impossible for them to mentally and emotionally project into the future 100 years to 2022 and envision that a group of disciples would still be worshiping and serving in that city because of the work that they began. If the Lord doesn't return first, and He very well may, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus, your people are waiting. But if He hasn't come by then, the McDermott Road Church will be here and will celebrate its centennial in the year 2100. That sounds like science fiction. It's not. It's 75 years from now. So very quickly, if you are 5 years old to 20 years old, this is a little arbitrary, 5 years old to 20 years old, 20 years old, please stand and remain standing for just a moment. 5 years old to 20 years old, both here and in the fellowship hall. Thank you guys for doing that. Again, if the Lord doesn't return first, and if you guys are blessed with long lives, which I hope you will be the 80 to 95-year-olds when the McDermott Road Church celebrates its centennial. And some of you who are standing up right now, who will clearly remember being here on this day, will be there on that day. Others of us have prior commitments, and we won't be able to join you. But you plan on it. Put it on your calendar. It's April the 4th, 2100. Your autonomous hover cars will drop you off, and they will pick you up after the service. But I want to ask you, not only plan to be there, plan to be a part of getting this church there. Yes. over the next 75 years. Thank you, and you may be seated. Brothers and sisters, you have faithfully partnered with the purposes of God for 25 years. Just faithfully keep fulfilling that purpose, as you always have, faithfully and boldly and confidently and creatively and outside the boxly. Continue to appreciate time-honored traditions and the positive contributions those traditions have made, but not slavishly so or perpetually so or in a way that would limit the casting of new visions and new models and new methods and new ministries. Continue to dream big, brothers and sisters. Dream big and live large as partners in the purpose of God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. Let's be standing as Keith leads us in this song.
Good morning, McDermott Road. It's good to be with you. What an honor it is to be here on the 25th anniversary and to share this pulpit with Tim Piles, a friend and co-laborer in Christ's kingdom, and with Wes, whose lessons continue to enrich this body of believers. I am truly blessed to call both these men my friends. I also want to thank the elders for their invitation to be part of this day. Deb and I love this church, and we are beyond grateful for our time here. So when it comes to churches, as Tim has already said, McDermott Road is a very young church. And you're still, I would say, maybe in your adolescence, maybe still a child. But Broken Arrow, old, 103 years old, and even Lakehoma Church, where I serve, is now 62 years old. And no matter the ages of our churches, we all have the same purpose. Let's read this verse from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 through 11. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to His eternal purpose that He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. So through Jesus Christ, our Lord, the manifold wisdom of God is being demonstrated. It is being made known to the good people in this community in Plano and all the communities around it. According to Paul, the body of Christ, the body here at McDermott Road, Broken Arrow, and Lakehoma, and beyond, is a declaration to those in the spiritual realm. Those in the spiritual realm, angels, even demonic forces, are witnessing God's wisdom through your work as a body of believers. And what a powerful, powerful influence you are. Now, think of McDermott Road, if you would, as these stained glass windows up here. Every piece representing a member of this church. And no matter how big, or how small they are, each piece of glass is contributing to the full display of God's glory right here in McDermott Road. Every single one of you, no matter how old or how young you are a living testament and witness of God's grace in this community. And no matter one's role in Christ's kingdom, each of you are a part of His glory. Your lives are evangelizing to those even in the heavenly realms. So this past Christmas, can you hang back on that one? Can you move back? Just a second. Okay. This past Christmas, a friend of ours gave Deborah and I some gifts around succulents. Okay. So the first one was, now you can put it up there, was this Lego set of succulents. 758 pieces. We have not put that together yet. We did try and put together this 1,000-piece puzzle on succulents. And as you can see, they're all green and kind of have that white in between. But every single piece is exactly the same size, shape, and piece. There's no variations. It took us forever. So let me ask you to do something, McDermott Road. See yourself as a puzzle with many pieces. What image, if you just see your puzzle, you're a puzzle box, all the pieces are put into that box. What image should be placed on the cover of that box to serve as a witness for this church? If you were tasked with taking a snapshot and turning it into a picture for that puzzle piece for McDermott Road Church of Christ here at 3600 McDermott Road in Plano, Texas, what would be the image on that box? Would you take an image of this building? A building which has been pieced together, torn down, built again, one addition after another, and still needs additional space? Or would you take a picture of this worship service? Would you come from that angle, maybe from up here, looking out? Or maybe a picture of this church serving in your community. Or maybe, just maybe, you would take a picture of the youth at camp. Or maybe the children's ministry. Or maybe an intimate gathering of a small group. How would you represent McDermott Road if you could use only one picture on the box? All right, let's look again at the passage in Ephesians. His intent, God's intent, was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to His eternal purpose that He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Could it be that the best picture representing McDermott Road just be Jesus Himself? Let's just put Jesus on the front of the puzzle box that represents McDermott Road. Are we not to look like Him, act like Him, and be formed in a manner of His liking? Isn't He our goal? Or even better, should not the picture representing McDermott Road, Church of Christ, be you? You're the picture. You're the picture on the cover. Are we not all formed into the image of Christ? Are we not His bride, a holy nation? Are we not a royal priesthood? Are we not called to be His hands and His feet? Are we not all sinners saved by His grace? Are we not, McDermott Road, a people being formed into His image? And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Does not this verse on the screen give us a better picture of who should represent McDermott Road on your puzzle box? Should I not be able to pick out any single person in this room to represent McDermott Road to the world? And you may say, but James, wait, not me. I can never be on the cover representing McDermott Road. Why not? Were you not washed in the blood of the Lamb? And by His grace, were you not saved? And are we not all being transformed into His image? But James, wait. I'm not there yet. Well, tell me who is. Right? Just tell me who is. Who is there yet? We are all broken, just in different places. And all of us who were baptized into Christ are being made into His image. To the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven, you have come to God, to the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect. Did you get that? To the righteous made perfect in Him and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. So when I think of Paul's letter to the Ephesians and everything he tells us about us and who we are, he says we have been chosen in Him, we have been redeemed, we have been sealed in Him, we have been seated with Him in the heavenly realms now, we have peace in and through Him, we have been made alive in Him, we are a people of God in whom His light shines in and through us. That, and yes, yes, this is a great mystery. It's a great mystery. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light. We have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, purifies us from all sin. So, do we believe that who we are becoming is one formed into the image of Christ? So you're right. You're right. There's no one, there's not one of us who believes we deserve to be on the image of McDermott Rhodes' puzzle box. And yet, through the revealed mystery of Christ, through His grace and through His mercy, through the amazing grace of our Father and Son, Jesus Christ, each one is, you are the face of McDermott Rhodes. When God sees you, does He not see His Son in you? I love you, McDermott Rhodes. May God continue to bless you with many more years of service to His kingdom. If you're here this morning and you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you want to give your life to Him, be baptized for the remission of your sins, and raised to walk in that new life, then do that today. And if you need the prayers of this church, you can come forward or go back and spend some time with one of the elders in the prayer room. Whatever you need is, would you come together, we stand and sing.